This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Caps fans. How's it going? Welcome to What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Don't adjust your volume. Don't adjust your settings at all. I do sound like crap because I feel like crap. I'm sorry, everyone. My voice is all messed up because of a cold I've gotten once again. But this time around, I wasn't going to stay away from What the Puck. I will just sound nasally while you guys drive in the car.
He's manned up.
Suffering through this with me. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
Clearly, I'm doing better than you are right now.
I've had a weird winter. This is my second cold sinus infection in like weeks.
I'm the one that works with kids. That doesn't make sense.
I don't get it. You know, you got little germ factories, and I stay away in my own little world, and I got nothing. I don't know why this is happening, but here we are. Sick. I'm sick. You're good. Caps are good, but they did look a little sick this weekend. I don't know how many of the games you got to watch, but I want to say from the last time we talked until now, the three games that we've seen, they've looked a bit sluggish. They looked a bit under the weather. They're still winning, which is great. You know, I can't really complain about a lot, but
not bad. It's not bad.
They definitely seem to have taken a turn for maybe not the most motivated play. Let's put it that way.
Are we referring to the Dallas game by chance?
Well, all of them, really. I mean, I love
Minnesota. I wouldn't take anything away from them necessarily in the Minnesota game. I thought that was one of the and I swear, I'm not one of the guys that is always going to harp on the referees kind of a thing. You know, when you're a kid, you do that all the time because, somebody's paying the refs. But that's just not the case. But in this case, that was one of the worst referee games I think I have ever seen in my life. That was so bad. Minnesota, some of their players are little cheap shots, but for the most part, there were just so many missed calls and retaliatory plays by the Wild that the referees let go. Yet if a Capitals player did it, they would go after him. That was terrible. And there were a lot of plays, too, where the Minnesota was getting screwed over on penalties as well. But that was one of the worst games. The Caps were sort of, at the end of it, Minnesota sort of waking up. They got a couple of great opportunities to get some goals, and they got them. But that was just, that whole game was just ugly by the referees from start to finish. But then if you go and you look at, I didn't see the Dallas game. I was busy seeing Deadpool's great film. If you haven't seen it, go see it as long as you're over the age of 17, 18. And the game against LA, I thought, while they started very sluggish, they weren't, I don't know if sluggish is the right word, but they started very defensively. They weren't playing a ton of offense. They weren't getting a ton of shots. They had a lot of power plays and got no goals from them, which was really weird, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, this team has a really good power play. How are you not scoring on, like, freaking any of them? But to be able to come out with a win with your backup goaltender, and that's not a shot at Philip Grubauer, but he's just not your usual sort of outstanding goaltender to some extent. But to be able to play as well as he was in a situation where you're playing one of the top teams in the league, and he came out and he looked perfectly fine. They had that one goal. They gave him the shorthanded goal to Anze Kopitar. That was a little ugly, but otherwise, from Grubauer on, everybody looked very good in that game. It was nice to see. Brooks Orpik is back. I know you want to talk about him. It's been a good week.
Yeah, well, like, it's been a good week for the Caps because, again, they are winning. They did have one loss, very ugly loss in Dallas. But the last three games, I mean, maybe I'm getting spoiled by how well the Caps are doing this year.
I think that's what it is. You and I are getting spoiled by how good the team is.
That must be it, because these three games, I thought as a fan watching them, they were friggin' boring. It was like, there was such unmotivated play. They weren't doing their jobs correctly. Nothing seemed to be clicking. But I say that, and they won 2 out of 3. So I really can't complain that much. And, you know, there were some fans that were booing the Capitals at home as they were doing poorly in one of the games. And how do you boo this team right now? Like, it makes no sense that...
Which game were they booing? I missed that.
Which game was it? It had to have been the Kings game, because that was the only one
probably
at home.
I must have missed that on the TV, but I heard the fans getting a little restless during the power play when they were trying to look for the perfect shot. I think to some extent against LA, that's what they were doing. They were looking for those perfect opportunities to score a goal instead of taking the chances that were being given to them. I remember Alan May was talking about this, but I was looking at the same thing when I was watching the game, where Marcus Johansson had a perfect opportunity. Actually, I think it was what led to Kopitar's goal. Johansson tried to make one last pass near the goal instead of just taking the shot and trying to get a rebound. When you have a goaltender that is amazingly as good as Jonathan Quick, you're not going to get great opportunities. If you try to throw out in front of the net, you know, he or one of his outstanding defensemen like Drew Doughty are going to make the play. You have to make opportunities happen by putting the puck on net and looking for rebounds. And they try to do too much. That's what led to the Kopitar goal. But I thought otherwise, I mean, I'll take boring if it gets you a win.
Yeah.
I guess is sort of the one way to put it. Like, I'll take boring because the team's still scoring a lot of goals. Even in the loss to Dallas, they scored 3 goals. They just happened to give up 4 of them. But they scored 4 against Minnesota. They scored 3 against a good L.A. team. And I mean, I'm looking at the schedule right now. The last time they scored less than 2 goals was against Florida at the beginning of the month. And that game was – that was ugly.
That was an ugly
game. That was an ugly game. But they scored 3 against the Islanders, 3 against the Devils, 3 against the – I'm seeing a pattern here. 3 against the Flyers, 5 against the Predators, 4 against the Wild, 3 against Dallas in a loss, and 3 against L.A. There's not too much to complain about right now.
No, not at all. And a lot of the goals, especially in the L.A. game, the game-winning goal, Yevgeny Kuznetsov, what a beautiful goal that was to...
Yeah, Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, this guy knows how to get into those slots and make those quick moves. And he shot it. It went around the net. He got set up to where he knew he could get around. Williams comes around the net, pitches it off to Kuznetsov, and he just kind of like sneakily puts it in because a lot of the guys didn't know where the puck was or whatever. But Kuznetsov, this guy is going to be worth so much money when his contract is up. He's so talented. There's nothing this guy can't do right now. He's like the golden boy of this team and maybe the NHL this year because he can score from anywhere. It's insane of how good of a game this guy plays.
Yeah, he's going to be expensive.
Yeah, he is.
Like, real expensive when his contract is up. Is that the end of this season?
It's next season. I think it's next season, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm pretty sure it's next season.
Last week, trying to use my computer while we were recording caused it to freeze. So we'll see if I can actually get it.
And made for some of the worst editing I've had to go through in our entire.
I thought it was good, dude. What? No one noticed. Okay, Kuznetsov. Yeah, you're right. He goes through next season at a cap hit of $3 million. But yeah, he's going to be a little pricey. When he becomes a restricted free agent, so they have their own negotiating rights. They got a couple guys coming up. I mean, Williams will be – his contract's up then. He'll get paid. Leik will be up. His has got to come down. Chimera's up after this season. Richards is obviously up after this season. Wilson will need a new contract after – yeah, so they got – but, yeah, either way, he's going to be getting paid.
Yeah.
Because that's going to make a lot of money, and he's earned it. He's top 3 offensive players on this team. He's fit in seamlessly. He's that second-line center, like we've said, that they've been missing since Sergei Fedorov. And – Before Fedorov, they were missing what seemed like forever. So to be able to have a guy like him on this team and be able to lock him down and know that he's a young guy. I mean, he's only 23.
Jesus.
And he's playing this ridiculous. It's amazing. So you definitely want to hang on to a guy like that for as long as you can. My guess is his next contract is something in a 7, 8, 9 years. Five, six mil.
You lock him up. 5, 6 mil
for, 7, 8, 9 years. And you've got him in Backstrom for the next nice long while.
Whew. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about this LA game. Of course, I want to talk about the return of Brooks Orpik. It was great to have Orpik back on the ice. But I do want to talk about the goalie situation beforehand. Brayden Holpe did not play against the LA Kings. Normally, when it's a back-to-back, two-day thing, a game, on a Saturday and another game on a Sunday, that's when we see Grubauer. I don't think he started a game not like that this entire season. So why do you think Barry Trotz decided, after Holpe had rested for 2 days, that Grubauer would be the one to start on Tuesday?
I don't know if I mean, he pulled him in the Dallas game, right?
Yeah.
Again, I didn't see the game. I was out seeing Deadpool. Great film. Go see it. I'd attribute it to he got pulled in the game. Grubauer, if he looked good in that game, I think I was reading that he actually looked good in that game. Maybe he was just giving him a chance to play. Why not give him an opportunity to go out there and be able to play He's showing him some confidence, giving Holtby another night off, chance to sort of collect himself maybe, and have a chance to see what Grubauer can do against some top talent. I mean, the team's way ahead in the standings right now, so you're not worried that if you do something like that, you're going to cost yourself points at the end of the season. Yeah, they may lose the President's Trophy, but who cares? That thing doesn't matter at all. They're 16 points up on the Rangers with one less game played. They are, if I'm doing that quickly, 14 points up on Florida for the lead in the Eastern Conference, and they're still 6 points up on Dallas, and they've played three less games. I'm not really worried about the standings right now, so if they want to see what some of the younger guys can do by giving them a chance to play, why not?
Here's my theory of why this happened. I think after the Dallas game, he pulled Holtby, Grubauer came in. During the post-game interview, Trotz said Holtby was saving us from making too many mistakes, and he was bailing us out. He was saying the guys were playing like crap. Holtby was saving us. I pulled him to get the other guys to start playing better. So I think after having a sluggish weekend, Trotz decided I'm going to start Grubauer so they don't have the safety net of Holtby to save them if they don't, you know, rush hard back to get the puck in their own zone, if they don't do this or do that. I think he used this as a way of telling these guys, look, Holtby's
sending a message.
Holtby's not going to be there all the time to save your butts.
That's not a bad – no, I would agree with that. I think that makes sense. If you feel like your team is relying too much on a goaltender that is playing phenomenally, then, yeah, you send a message saying, I'm tired of this. You can't always – rely on him to be there and hold your hand and fix whatever's going wrong. So that makes sense. Yeah, you go and you give him a little wake-up call, and you know Holtby's going to be Holtby, so you're not worried about him missing any ice time. If anything, you're just giving him a longer break towards the end of the season when you want him to be fresh. That's fine with me. And yeah, no, I completely agree with you.
All right, I'm right. Hear that, guys?
Yeah!
Woo! Got to be right at some point.
No, it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking when I was reading those post-game comments. Well, Holtby, he can't be bailing us out all the time, yada, 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 yada. And then he starts Grubauer. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
I was surprised to see Grubauer playing against the Kings. I would have figured with the lineup the Kings have, you go with your number one guy. But hearing what you said, it makes sense.
It does make sense. Plus, it was a Western team, so really points against this team doesn't – if you don't win the game, it doesn't hurt you in the standings as far as, you know, who you're up against. And
you're not giving someone points that you're fighting against for a spot in
right
the playoffs.
Right, exactly. That so I mean, all the signs point to why he did it. I mean, my theory sounds like it's correct since Coach Dan agrees with me, but it could be for
I wouldn't be surprised. We've seen Trotz do that before where I can't remember what game it was. It was earlier in the season where Holtby was playing well, but the team was playing like garbage, and he pulled Holtby, and it wasn't a shot at Holtby, but it was like, guys, you're just like hanging him out to dry. Screw this. You're going to have to play better if you want to win this game. He's giving a little wake-up call. He's like, knock this S off. Start playing better.
And that's what it was. So another big return in L.A. Let's bring him up, of course, Brooks Orpik. How many games did this guy miss? Like
753,
something like that.
He plus was, or minus like 710 or something. I think it said 40 games. Is that what I heard? 40.
I it was up there.
I heard 40. It was either right around or it was at 40. I'm pretty sure is what they said in the broadcast. And to see him miss that many games, and then I thought he played well.
Yeah, yeah.
He was on the third pairing, but I saw him out there once with Carlson, and I was like, hey. You're supposed to be with Orlov right now. What are you doing? Stop messing stuff up.
Yeah, you
but
know.
But he played well.
In his absence, the defense played very well. But with him back in the
very
lineup,
true.
Of course, the defense is even stronger. It was good to see him back on the ice. I'm happy this wasn't, you know, like a season-ending injury or anything like that. So to have him back definitely boosts the confidence of the defense as well. But you got to feel bad for Taylor Chorney, who played extremely well in Brooks Orpik's absence. But now he's probably going to be riding the bench or the press box for the majority of the rest of the season as long as everybody stays healthy.
Yeah, that would be my guess, is that he's probably going to be up in the press box more often than not.
But that's what you know. That's what you expect when you come on as a seventh.
Yeah, no, I mean, when you sign that contract, you know that if everybody's healthy, odds are you're not going to be playing. And if anything, he just earned himself another contract with either – is he signed through next season? He's unrestricted after the season. So he either with the way he's been playing, he can use that to go into his next contract, whether it's with the Capitals or somebody else. He's going to use this. His agent's going to go out and say, hey, look how well he was playing. Look at this guy. He's actually pretty good. If you need a guy who's can come in and play, you know, on your third pairing for a significant period of time, he went and he played during – he played for most of those 40 games, right?
Yeah, he did.
Was there one or two he missed out? But either way, he played a significant portion of that time, if not all of it, and he played well. So this is an opportunity for his agent, him to go out and, you know, if the Capitals decide to go in another direction, they want to go with one of the young guys like Carrick or probably not Bowie.
Bowie ain't coming up for at least another
Bowie's
season
probably
or two.
Got that, he's been playing pretty well. If he gets another season under his belt, I think next season he might get a couple of cups of coffee, as we like to say about with the Paulie. But Bowie may actually at the end of the season, I wouldn't be surprised if they clinch the playoffs in like the last week or two of the season when the rosters go up. Maybe they call him up for a game or two and just give him a cup of coffee at the NHL. Give him a chance to play. No, I mean, with Chorney, if the Capitals decide they want to go with one of the younger guys, but they're going to end up being cheaper or whatever it is going into next season, knowing they have to free up that cap space to re-sign Kuznetsov and Marcus Johansson after this season, I wouldn't be surprised to see Chorney use this as an opportunity to go out to other teams and be like, hey, I'm actually pretty decent. Like, I'm not bad. You're a third-pairing guy, pretty cheap. That's me. That's the guy you want. He can go out and use that to talk to other teams.
Very good point.
While it's a bummer for him now,
in the long
run,
it
may not be in the long run. You can see a team that's looking to that's building and wants to put more money into some of the younger guys they have or something like that. Maybe they go out and they sign a guy like a Chorney.
Maybe like a Calgary who could potentially be seeing, you know, a guy like Dennis Weidman after you lost him, you know, for a good chunk of time. A guy who's a little bit more more defensive minded, you know. He might be a good idea. You know, he might be a good fit for a team like Calgary. Who knows?
He probably won't try to, you know, permanently injure a referee.
Jesus. So stupid. So stupid. Ugh.
More on that later.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you brought up Johansson and potentially getting a great big payday. He's centering the third line.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about Jay Beagle. Right now, we are on Beagle Watch because it is,
I like that you call it that.
It's Beagle
it's
Watch.
It's so silly.
Beagle Watch 2016. And then I'm going to add in some dog barks at the end of every time I say Beagle Watch 2016.
Oh, it's so unnecessary. He's got to be coming back.
Well, this is around the 6 week.
He skated yet?
He's skated. I don't know if he's skated with the team. But here's the thing, all right? Team's doing very well. Do you rush him back? I don't think so. I think you let him.
Hell no.
You let him heal up as much as he can, and you work him in. I think that's what they did with Orpik. I bet you, if this was a Caps team from a year or two ago, Orpik would have been pushed out there, you know, a month ago, month and a half ago, and they're like, you know what, we're gonna buy our time, we're gonna wait it out and see what happens. So, Beagle, he's a guy that you gotta. The coaching staff and the trainers and everything have to watch this guy because we know what type of player he is, that he just wants to get out there and play the game. So they got to take their time. They got to make sure he's telling the truth, being like, I'm still healing.
Or go out there and be lying. I'm fine, probably.
Yeah, my hand's fine, guys. Just let me out.
Don't worry about me.
You're bleeding. You're bleeding profusely. No, it's fine. Just let me go.
Don't worry about it. We're good.
Yeah, so do you bring Beagle back? Do you not rush him? Do you say, hey, you know, chill out for a couple more weeks? We're doing fine. Or, like, what do you do at this point?
And you trade him.
No!
No, what? I'm just kidding.
We've been over this.
I just wanted to piss you off.
That is not going to be. We are not going to have.
With Beagle, you're not going to trade him. With Beagle, the question is going to be who sits when he comes back, because he's going on the fourth line. He's not going back to the third line. Johansson's been in very nicely there because they have nowhere to put Johansson if they put him on the third line center spot, because Burakovsky and Kuznetsov and Williams have played very well together. So
let's interrupt real quick. How freaking great has Burakovsky been the last couple weeks? That dude,
he's woken up. Yeah. He's looking good. I can wear his t-shirt and not feel weird.
He's, you know, Mojo's playing that's well, but the Barracuda, he's got his mojo back. The guys look great.
I'm not calling him that. I refuse to play along. That was pretty. No, he's played great. Him and Kuznetsov with the speed out there. I feel kind of bad for Williams because I kind of wonder if they start moving. He's like, oh, God damn it. I'm not going to catch up. freaking fast little young guys. Wait for me.
Freaking Swedes. It's always the Swedes.
I mean, look at that. Burakovsky's Burakovsky's 21 because Kuznetsov is 23. So together they're 44. Williams is only 10 years younger than that combined. He's so much older. No, but I think it's great. I think it's they've been a great line. Williams is just like, all right, I'm going to go park my butt in front of the goal and get goals from there and have opportunities. He could have had potentially two goals in the game against LA were it not for Jonathan Quick being so freaking ridiculous. But the opportunities that Burakovsky is taking advantage of now, because that's off the way he's playing, there's no way they're disrupting the second line. Third line's looking great. So my guess is if Beagle comes back, either you see him, I don't think it'll be the case, but you can see him on like the right wing on the third line and bump Wilson back. But my guess is he goes back on the third line. It's him, like, and Richards and Lotta's up in the press box.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a very good fourth line checking line.
Yeah. I mean, that does, I would say just to the sheer fact that he's cheaper, you put him in the press box, but like Mike Richards could go up there. Mike Richards, I mean, he's been solid for the Capitals, but he hasn't been, like, you know, blowing my socks off or anything. I really thought he was going to get a goal up against his former team last night.
He had a couple opportunities to get some assists if some other guys on his line were a little freaking faster.
Yeah, yeah, and that seems to be the big question mark there. I thought it's funny you brought up bumping Wilson back. Wilson had some very questionable play in the LA game.
Yeah, he's helping feed the fire of those who hate him.
Which, I like Wilson a lot, and he's shown some little glimpses of brilliance.
He's a dumb.
But, like, what are you doing making those type of plays? I mean, that's why people think that you're a goon and nothing else.
People think he's a douche because he keeps trying to hurt people. Now, that was dumb, and he deserves whatever negative action comes his way. Not suspension by any mean, but probably a phone call or someone telling him, hey, that was stupid.
Yeah.
It's reckless, and you can't do that. It doesn't matter who you are. You can't make a play like that and not expect to get in trouble. And whether he meant to do it or not is debatable. I don't think he's the type of person that would try and injure somebody based on what we know is of him as fans. I don't think he's like a horrible guy. He's like, I'm going to wreck the shop with it or something that makes sense. But that was dumb. And he definitely deserves whatever punishment may be coming his way. Should a punishment be coming his way? I don't think I've heard anything yet. And I feel like we would have by now.
Yeah. I don't think it's anything,
but it was dumb.
Yeah. All right. So anything else we should cover in Caps World?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, they play pretty well lately. They got some games coming up that should be an interesting test. I just realized their games coming up is exact like replica of the first week of the month. Islanders on Thursday, Devils on Saturday. That's weird.
That is true.
That is weird. Except for their reverse. This time, they're in Brooklyn and then at home against the Devils. I don't know why I brought this up. I just thought it was weird.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
I don't know. I just looked at the schedule and I was like, wait, whoever made the schedule this season, they're a weirdo.
Yeah, yeah. For big, the stretch going on with the Capitals, man, that is going to be rough because they've got like one day off in between games from here on out. There's a couple twofers in there, but it is
going to they'll be all right.
Yeah, they're the Caps. They're going to be fine this year.
They're far enough ahead in the standings that should they have an opportunity or should they have some struggles along the way, that it's not going to hurt them too long as they're able to right the ship and keep going.
Yeah. All right, well, that is pretty much it for what's going on in Caps World. We are, of course, going to take a quick break, and we will be back with Down on the Farm. But first, here's a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
Welcome back to the show. This is Down on the Farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 1-1-1 with an overtime win over Springfield, a loss to Providence, and an overtime loss to Bridgeport. The Bears are currently 28-14-10, good for 66 points, which puts them second in the Atlantic Division, two back of first place Wilkes-Barre Scranton. The Bears will be back at it with back-to-back games at the Giants Center over the weekend with both being against Providence. I'm sure nothing can go wrong there with the fisticuffs. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-1 with two wins over Wichita and a loss to Greenville. The Stingrays are currently 27-17-6, good for 60 points, which puts them second in the South Division, seven back of first place Florida. So they're slowly making their way towards that first place spot. The Stingrays will be back at it with back-to-back-to-back games starting on Friday. All of them are against Greenville, with Friday and Saturday away and Sundays at home. That means that the Stingrays will play Greenville four times in the span of 6 days. What? Sure, why not? That's what's going on down on the farm.
You know what, Bears? Keep doing what you're doing. Do what you got to do. Get those baby pens out of that number one spot. We don't need the baby pens doing that.
Bogus.
That sucks. Let's get the Bears up to that number one spot.
Screw those guys.
Because the Bears, as I said last week, they are looking good. They are looking good this year. All right,
I like a new website.
Yeah. New website's pretty awesome, too. That's I really like that as well. All right. That is it for what's going on down on the farm. Go Bears. Go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We are going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff's going on. I'm sure someone's been concussed. I'm sure someone's been suspended. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
That's so messed up. I'm sure someone's been concussed. Their life has changed forever.
They are forced to retire early.
Yeah, she's so inappropriate. All right, well, let's start in New
Wait
York.
A We're second. Starting... Did you just say inappropriate?
I did.
Oh my god, that is in a props, you gossip girl. Good lord.
Is that what that's from?
I have no idea. Would I watch that?
No, I heard it from I feel like I heard it from Archer.
In a props?
Yeah. Have you ever watched Archer?
Yes, I love that show. Who does it?
Pam.
All right, so yeah, that's a good reason to use inappropriate if Pam does it.
Dude, that show's funny.
It is funny. It's very funny.
Are we going to cut this part out because it's just gotten way off track?
No, we're keeping it inappropriate.
All right, whatever. Moving on. Let's go back to the NHL stuff. Let's start in New York, where Gary Bettman upheld the 20-game suspension given to Calgary defenseman Dennis Wideman. Speaking of things that are inappropriate, Wideman checking a rep. He ended up checking linesman Don Henderson. Bettman stated that while Wideman apologized for his actions, and I quote, "The sincerity of those apologies rings somewhat hollow given the text message he sent to a teammate on February 2nd after the conclusion of the hearing before Mr. Campbell," this being the, I believe he's is Colin Campbell, so the director of player safety or something like that with the NHL. Either way, that the only problem, and this is what Wideman texted, that the only problem and the only reason I'm here is because the stupid ref and stupid media. I guess when you say something like that and then you say that you apologize, it kind of doesn't make sense. Now, it just came out in the last little bit that Wideman and the NHLPA will be taking this to a neutral arbitrator to appeal his suspension again. So this is getting more and more interesting. Let's go over to Minnesota where they
Hold on, one second.
Oh, we're holding on.
Does he not know what happens to people that go up against the NHL? Did he not see the John Scott story? Like, Dennis Wideman is like begging to be traded and demoted to the AHL right now by
I don't So think now, you can trade someone who's been suspended.
Oh, we'll see. I bet you.
Oh, maybe figure, you can. I don't know.
I bet you they figure out a way to do it. And here's another question: you said that Wideman texted that to a teammate.
How did they get that?
Did the teammate rat him out?
I was reading earlier. They said something along the lines. I don't understand. There's a lot of stuff. That it was in the discovery period that became available. I don't know if it's from a teammate.
So the teammate ratted him out, definitely, because...
Well, in theory, Orr Wideman had to turn over his text messages as a part of the investigation.
Unless it was a company phone, or if it wasn't a company phone, I don't think he'd have to...
I don't know, man. I just watched Law & Order SVU. I don't know about all the other...
I don't watch that. I am watching The People versus O.J. Simpson right now. Are you watching that?
No, and I feel like we're on a different podcast now.
I know, but it's actually a really good show. I'm actually really enjoying it. It's a very the acting is kind of out there. But go on. So what happened in Minnesota?
Yeah, let's over to Minnesota where they fired their head coach, Mike Yeo, naming AHL affiliate Iowa Wild head coach Don Torchetti their interim coach. In their last 14 games, the Wild, this being Minnesota one, went 1-11-2. It's not great for job security. Yale had been with the team since 2011. In other firing news, and try to keep up because this one gets more and more interesting as we go along. Earlier this season, we talked about how the Ontario Hockey League's Flint Firebirds had fired their head coach and assistant coach, then rehired them the next day after the owner changed his mind, which was weird, but whatever. Fast forward to today, where the same gentlemen have been fired again. The league apparently is not happy about it, and they'll be looking into it. Now, in the owner's defense, the team is in last place, so he has the right to fire a head coach if the team sucks. However, speculation is that the owner is not happy that his son is not getting enough ice time on the team. Which made me wonder, is that Dan Snyder the owner of this team? It's not the case, but I had to wonder for a moment.
That's why they all walked out in the when the coach got fired the first time, right?
I think that's what we talked about. Speculation, but apparently, did his son walk out too?
I think his son. I think that was a big part of the story.
That would make things awkward at Thanksgiving.
Oh man, I'm glad we're not an OHL podcast because that is some crazy stuff.
Things are getting weirder and weirder with the Flint Firebirds. And finally, let's go to Arizona where the Coyotes lost goaltender Anders Lindback hours before their game and were unable to fly a goalie in from AHL affiliate Springfield. Now, the NHL recently instituted a new rule that says every team must have a goalie who lives in the area that can dress in the event of an injury. I think the Caps is their emergency guy is Brett Lienhart.
Right.
He dressed for them a couple of years ago, and he's the video coach for the team.
Right.
Anyways, let's go back to Arizona, where Lindback goes down, and they don't have a backup for their goaltender. I think his name is Louis Domingue. I don't know. The team called their emergency backup named Nathan Schoenfeld, a local bank manager, who, when he got the call, was bathing his twin five-week-old boys. Schoenfeld, who's actually the son of former Caps head coach and current assistant GM Jim Schoenfeld, as well as a son-in-law of the Coyotes equipment manager, he drove 30 minutes to the arena, signed an amateur tryout contract, and sat on the bench for the game. Now, Schoenfeld played club goalie at Arizona State University and has played during Coyote alumni games. He apparently called his dad and told him that if there are any Rangers scouts in the stands, they should watch the backup goalie. So that is a pretty crazy story coming out of Arizona. He got paid to have the best seat in the house.
And he got a free jersey.
He got to keep the jersey with his name, and I think it was the number 40 on the back. That's the news for the past week in the NHL. Oh, continuing from last week, the NHL website still sucks. You can't go back more than, like, I don't know, a day in the news? It's like, I hate it.
Alex Seven also agrees with you. He says it's really hard to keep up with the NHL with their new website. He doesn't like it either.
What?
Alex Simon came out and was like, this website, it's not that great. It's pretty hard to navigate.
I'm sure the NHL didn't like you much either, buddy.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Dan or I, you can tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find some of my old writings and one day some new stuff at Capitals Outsider. com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which, Brandon, I ask you every week, but have you got any new ones?
I got nothing, man. Actually, you know what I did get in the mail today? I got an unmasked Kylo Ren Funko Pop bobblehead.
I still haven't seen Star Wars.
Because you hate fun. That's what happened. That's why.
That is not true.
Yep, that's the reason. I've seen it twice already.
Clearly, it's not true, considering the fact that I saw Deadpool and it was amazing.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that one.
Now who doesn't like fun?
I was sick. You're going to make fun of the sick and the ill? Is that what you do?
Yeah, clearly.
I would too.
That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about Brando Cash Entertainment. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. Get all the information you're ever going to need about any of our podcasts, our photos, our videos, whatever we feel like doing. Go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, as well as on Twitter at WTP_podcast. Whenever a new show of What the Puck comes out, you will be the first to know. We're always posting fun articles and videos and photos, what stuff that's going on the AHL, the ECHL. We keep you informed as best we can. So, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, you stream, and you download for free. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about What the Puck. Be proud of the fact that you wear the weagle on your shoulder. I know. Be a Caps fan. Be a proud Caps fan. Tell people on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Tinder and OkCupid and all those other dating websites and you know what? Anywhere you talk to people. AIM. Anybody else on AIM anymore? Is that a thing?
I think you've gone too far.
I don't know. Must be the cold medicine. Let people know. I'm a Caps fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's talk about the games coming up until we talk again, because guess what, guys? There is a Wednesday game coming up, so of course our schedule will be shifting around a bit. So on Thursday, February 18th, the Capitals, I had to look at the screen a little bit closer. I am so old. That's great. Thursday, February 18th, the Capitals are up in New York, in Brooklyn, up against the Islanders. That game is at 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. Then on Saturday, February 20th, the Capitals are back in D.C. in the phone booth, welcoming the Ming Chen-supported Devils. If you guys didn't check out our interview with Ming Chen last week, make sure you go check it out. That game is at 7 o'clock, and that will be on Comcast Sportsnet. And then on Monday, February 22nd, the Capitals staying at home, welcoming in the Arizona Coyotes. That game is at 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet locally. And then on Wednesday, February 24th, the Capitals welcome the Montreal Canadiens over the border in D.C. at 7 o'clock locally, Comcast Sportsnet Plus. So since that game is on Wednesday, you can expect a new podcast from us. We'll record it Thursday night, the 25th, expected late Thursday night, early Friday morning next week. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you're going to those games, if you're watching at home, if you're getting together with some buddies at a bar, make sure everybody say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
So I don't know if we're going back to this or Skype, so I'm on both.
You're on both.
Well, I didn't know which one we were going to do. So I have both open, and now I don't anymore because that's closed Skype.
All right.
It makes that weird sighing sound.
Skype. Oh.
When you say go Bears, it sounds like you're doing the bit from SNL.
Da Bears.
Da Bears. over in Minnesota, they fired their head coach, Mike Yeo, naming AHL affiliate Iowa. I can't speak anymore today. That went poorly. Let's try this again. Oh, how did I try this? You said let's go over to Minnesota, right?
Yes.
Okay. What did I say? Until I completely fell apart.
Meanwhile, in Minnesota...